pick up again from where up to. So we're in Siman Tafayim Beis Iftes Vav, and the Mechaber tells us that if you have children at the Seder, each child should get his own cup for Daled Kosos. This is a bit of a chiddush in the sense of Tosis at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim discusses, does every person at the Seder have to drink their own cup for Daled Kosos, or maybe it's sufficient for the Baal HaBayis to drink the cup of Daled Kosos and be motzi everybody? Is it just like Me'ikar Hadim when it comes to Kiddush? So what you can have is a situation that the Baal HaBayis makes Kiddush and is motzi everybody with his Kiddush. So maybe Daled Kosos is like that. Now, that question actually can be understood in one of two ways. That question can be understood that we're asking something related to the mitzvah of Shomei Akaona. You know the famous machlokes between the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish about Shomei Akaona. Does Shomei Akaona mean that I am being motzi you? Or does Shomei Akaona mean that you are yotze when I say something? If the pshat is that you are yotze, saying you have to be yotze all the details on your own, so I can make a bracha, and the bracha that I make is just a bracha for you. But let's say it's a bracha that involves having a kos in front of you, so then according to the Beis Halevi, you're not yotze shomei ka'ona that way. You're only yotze shomei ka'ona just with the words itself. The accoutrements, the things that come together with the words, you're not yotze. The Chazon Ish says that this opinion is absolutely impossible. That Shomei Kona has to be that you yotze all the details. Therefore, the Chazon Ish writes that the suffix in Tosfos relating to Shomeya, the suffix in Tosfos relating to the Daled Kosos is not much of a suffix. Me'ikar Hadin, the Bali Hatosis assume that I can, Me'ikar Hadin, what I'm allowed to do is I can be motzi you with the Daled Kosos. That's not a problem at all. I can be motzi you with the my Daled Kosos according to the Chazon Ish. And that's already a chiddush, because the Pashtus in Shulchan Aruch, the Pashtus in many places, is that no, I can only be motzi someone with a bracha if they have in front of it. Let me just say it more clearly. I don't know if I'm saying it clearly enough. There's a suffix in Tosis. Does the Baal HaBayis himself have to drink the Daled Kosos, or does everyone have to drink the Daled Kosos? According to the Chazon Ish, that suffix relates to the understanding of Shomei Ka'ona. And therefore the Chazon Ish says that's a davar pashut, that me'ikar hadin, all you need is the Baal HaBayis to drink the cup. No one else has to drink it. That's the way the Chazon Ish understands it. Reb Elvel Soloveitchik has a different understanding, however, of the Tosis. Reb Elvel says that the suffix relates to what's the nature of Daled Kosos. Is Daled Kosos the idea that you just have to drink four cups? Or is Daled Kosos the idea that you have to be yotze four mitzvos on the cup? If the idea is that you have to drink four separate cups, so then it can't be that the Baal HaBayis is drinking for you, because the halacha is that mitzvah shebegufo, no one can do on my behalf. Just like you can't put on tefillin for me, so you also can't drink Daled Kosos for me. It's a mitzvah on my own body. That's the way it's understood by Reb Elvel. Now it says here in Shulchan Aruch that not only should every adult person at the Seder have their own cup, but also even the children should have their own cup. That's what the Mechaber writes. Then the Ramah says, just very briefly, that you should not drink from a cup that is what they call a klug glaz. A klug glaz is like a tiny bottle or something that has a very narrow opening. You shouldn't drink with something that has a narrow opening. And the reason for that is that you should be able to drink the full shiur in the requisite amount of time. You have to drink a revius, which we said is 3 ounces, and you have to drink that within kedei achilas pras, within, let's say, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, or 9 minutes, right? Now, if you have a smaller ship, kidei achilas pras, and you have a cup with a very narrow opening, so that's the equivalent of drinking, let's say, from a medicine dropper, and you might not be able to drink the full shear within that amount of time. So therefore, the Rama writes that you should not drink from the kol glas. That is the simple pshat in the Rama, that we just need to ensure that you have a revius b'toch kidei achilas pras. However, there's another pshat that the Mishnah Brura seems to follow over here. The Mishnah Brura writes that just like we say that by matzah, you should eat the entire kezias in one shot, so also by dalek kaisis, you should eat the entire, you should drink the entire revius in one shot. Meaning, right, by matzah, it's really an unusual situation. But I think my friend Chaim Seiman wrote an article titled, you can probably look this up online, is this really the way to eat matzah? Basically, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you should put all the kezias in your mouth and swallow it in one shot. And that's why you're mekayim, the mitzvah of achilas matzah. The idea basically is that you have to do a mitzvah in one shot, and chatzi mitzvah is not a mitzvah. So I have to swallow the whole kezias and matzah in one shot, because if I take a bite and a bite and a bite and a bite, I don't do the whole mitzvah in one shot. And who says you can combine half a mitzvah to half a mitzvah? It's really a tremendous, tremendous chumrah. But the Mordechai paskins this way, and the Mishnah and the Mechaber seems like this is a lechatchila. Excuse me, and the Mishnah Brura says that's what you have to do as well. And then the Mishnah Brura adds, you know what? Not only do you have to do that by the mitzvah of achilas matzah, but even by dalet kosos, you have to drink the entire revius in one shot. That's like such a super chumrah, but okay, that's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, etc.
Abba, please go to a different
then,
room. I can't hear anything going on in my classes because of you.
Then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that the cup of Birkas HaMazon, the cup of benching, can you just wait 1 second, Gershon? No, I'm still with you. I'm just walking to a different area, and hopefully we'll have a better hatzlacha in a different area. Okay, can you still hear me over here? Yes, more or less. Okay, so we're going to do the best we can, given the circumstances. Okay. So it says in the Rama that you should not use a small cup for dalet kosos, and also you should not use a small cup. Certainly, excuse me, you should not use a small cup for benching. The idea is that the cup of benching, you're supposed to look at the cup when you recite Birkas HaMazon, and you should not, like similar to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you make Kiddush, you should see the candles reflected on the cup of wine. So by benching, you should do that. So a small cup, you cannot see the candles through, you cannot see into the cup. So therefore, that's not good enough for the cup of Birkas HaMazon. Let's talk about the next Se'if, Simin Tafayim Bei Se'if Tes Zayin. The Mechaber writes that you're supposed to give children Klayos Ve'egozim Le'al HaSeder. You're supposed to give them candy to keep them awake. The idea is that the Seder is dedicated towards children, and because it's dedicated towards children, you have to make sure the kids are awake. So to make sure the kids are awake, you give them candy. So Mishnah Berurah says that you see from here that you want to keep the kids awake. It's not enough for the kid just to say Manishtana. You have to keep them awake so that they hear some of the answer. The more of the Haggadah that they're awake for, the better off they are. That's the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah. It seems to me, though, that there is a little bit of an educational lesson here as well. And that lesson is that Le'al HaSeder, you're supposed to give your kids candy, implying that the rest of the year, you're not supposed to give them candy, no? The mitzvah of giving candy is a mitzvah Le'al HaSeder. You want the kids to stay awake for the Seder, so then you give them candy.
That implies that candy is not an ordinary thing, and you should not give candy the rest of the year. Ad kan divrei mi. This is my understanding based on this mechaber. Good? Now, in Siman Tuf Ayin Gimel, Se'if Aleph, it says that Mosgin Lo Kos Rishon Mekadesh Alav, that you pour the first kos for the Baal Habayis, and he makes Kiddush on it, U'mevarech Shehechiyanu, and he makes the Shehechiyanu as well. There is a halacha that you make a Shehechiyanu. Shehechiyanu comes in many different forms. There's Shehechiyanu on the Yontiv, and there is Shehechiyanu on every mitzvah that we do, no? Just like before you lay Megillah, they make an announcement that you should have in mind that the Shehechiyanu goes before the Yom Megillah during the day. You should have in mind the Shehechiyanu goes on the mitzvah Mishloach, Mandos, Matanos, Levionim, etc. So here also you should make a Shehechiyanu, and this Shehechiyanu is going on the Yom, it's going on the Yontiv itself, and it's also going on the mitzvos that you do on the Yontiv as well. That's basically the halacha. Now, what this means is as follows. This means that, let's say I did not make Shehechiyanu Leil HaSeder. And let's say I'm such an absent-minded professor, I didn't even make any Shehechiyanu at the second Seder. I'm allowed to make a Shehechiyanu any time during the Yontiv. Because Shehechiyanu is a halacha on the Yom. The Yontiv itself gets a Shehechiyanu. There's also a Shehechiyanu on the Mitzvahs HaLayla. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to make an announcement at the beginning of the Seder that everyone should have in mind that the Shehechiyanu is going on the Mitzvah of Matz, on the Mitzvah of Maror. Interesting, is a Shehechiyanu on Maror? You make a Shehechiyanu on a bad Mitzvah? The Baal HaItor writes that there's no Shehechiyanu when you destroy the Chametz. Because it's a mitzvah that we feel bad about, no? Because we're destroying some of our money. So, you get the impression from that Baal HaItor that you don't make a Shehechiyanu on the bad mitzvah. Nonetheless, the halacha is that we do make a Shehechiyanu on the mitzvah of Achilas Maror. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to announce at the beginning of the Seder that the Shehechiyanu that we're making at Kiddush is going on all the mitzvos. Now, why is this relevant? This is relevant for the following idea. Reb Yaakov Emden has a concept that women who recite Shehechiyanu by Hadlakas Neros should not answer the Shehechiyanu that is made at Kiddush. Because, he says, that Shehechiyanu will be a hefsek. It will be a hefsek in the sense of they were already Yotze Shehechiyanu when they made their Bracham Hadlakas Neros. And once you Yotze Shehechiyanu, you're not allowed to talk between the making of Kiddush, the Bari Pri Hagafen, and drinking the cup. So therefore you should not answer Amen, the women should not answer Amen to the Shehechiyanu at Kiddush. Now this is debatable on a number of points. First of all, why should I not answer Amen? The person who's making the bracha on Kiddush is making a legitimate bracha. The fact that I was already Yotze might mean that it's not a hefsek for me, so who cares? That's the general opposition to Reb Yaakov Emden. And the Minhag HaOlam, I think, is that women who make a bracha of Shehechiyanu Hadlakas Neros do answer Amen to the Shehechiyanu that's made at Kiddush. That's the general approach. However, Leil HaSeder, says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, everyone would agree, even Reb Yaakov Emden would agree, that the women should answer Amen at the Shehechiyanu that's made at Kiddush. And the reason he gives for this is because the Shehechiyanu at Kiddush, at the Seder, is not only a Shehechiyanu on the Yontiv. The women who made Shehechiyanu when they lit candles are making a Shehechiyanu because they're welcoming the Yontiv. Now, when I make a Shehechiyanu, the Shehechiyanu is not really going on the Yontiv, or I should say it's not only going on the Yontiv, the Shehechiyanu is also going on the mitzvah of Matzah and the mitzvah of Maror, right, etc., on all the mitzvahs that we haven't done in a very long time. So, therefore, that is
That is what the Shechiyanu is.
Okay, question. How long do you have to make a Shechiyanu? Let's say you didn't make a Shechiyanu at the Seder, so you were not Yotze the Shechiyanu for the mitzvos. But there's the other Shechiyanu, the Shechiyanu of the Yontiv. How long can you make a Shechiyanu on the Yontiv? So Pashtus is, in Mishnah Berurah Paskins, you can make a Shechiyanu on the Yontiv, the entire Yontiv. So if on day 8 of Pesach, you remember that you didn't make a Shechiyanu, right, Ben, you've got to be pretty absent-minded to skip a Shechiyanu until the 8th day of Pesach. But let's say it happens, you didn't make a Shechiyanu until the last day of Yontiv. So then, you make a Shechiyanu on the last day of Yontiv. That's the Pashtus. The Mishnah Berurah over here quotes that there are some Achronim who say, he quotes this from the Chok Yaakov. The Chok Yaakov says that you could even make a Shechiyanu on the Yontiv after the Yontiv. Right? We know that by Shavuos, there's Tashlumin for the Yontiv for 7 days. You could bring the carbon of the Yontiv for 7 days after. So says the Chok Yaakov, so you can... What is it, Gershon? Right, so the... Okay. But basically, the Chok Yaakov says that you can make a Shechiyanu on the Yontiv of Shavuos after the Yontiv of Shavuos. Just like there's Tashlumin for the carbon, there's also Tashlumin for the bracha of Shechiyanu. That's already Ma'od Mechudash. That's already a very novel idea. And the Mishnah Berurah says that's absolutely incorrect, that you cannot make a Shechiyanu after the Yontiv ever. Then the Mechaber writes that let's say Leil HaSeder is Shabbos, so you also say Vayechulu. That's not such a big deal. Although I should mention that one of the issues that we have now when we're davening B'Yechidus is what you do about Vayechulu. Again, we're not going to have it Leil HaSeder. This year the Seder is not on Shabbos. But what do I do about Vayechulu every Friday night? Ordinarily, I'm supposed to say Vayechulu with someone else, no? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's ki'ilu I'm being meyed on ma'isa bereishis. Now, if you're davening b'yechidus, it could be no one else is there to say vayechulu with you. Now, I don't think that's such a big deal. First of all, many people have someone else there. The Pashta says you don't need kosher edus for this. The idea of vayechulu with two people is some sort of edus. You don't need kosher edus. So I'm being meyed on. I can testify on something. That's edus. I can't testify that Hashem created the world. I was not there. So I don't know what the Eidus means. And in fact, the Chazon Ish is quoted as saying that you don't really need two people with you when you say Vayechulu, etc. Okay, but let's just go slowly. Leil HaSeder, for Shabbos, you make a Vayechulu at the beginning, you say Vayechulu at the beginning of Kiddush. If it is Matzei Shabbos, so then you say Yak Nahaz. What's Yak Nahaz? So I think in some German language, Yayin Kiddush, Ne'er, good, Havdalah, and Zman. Exactly. That's the sequence of Yak Nahaz. First you make a Borei Pri HaGofen, that's Yayin, then the Bracha of Kiddush, then Borei Ma'orei HaEish, then Havdalah, then Zman. You don't say Besamim, because you say Besamim only when the Neshama Yaseira completely leaves you. We'll give that explanation that Taisus in Beitza has. And when you go from a Shabbos to a Yontiv, the Neshama Yaseira doesn't really leave you, because the Neshama Yaseira stays with you on Yontiv. So what I do is I recite, excuse me, Yak Nahaz. Ben, you have a comment? Zman is Shehechiyanu. The sequence of brachas is Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, Zman, the bracha of Shehechiyanu comes all the way at the end. Okay. Great. Now, it happens in some German languages. I think the word Yak Nahaz means kill rabbits. If you look in some of the old Haggadahs, when you have Yak Nahaz, so there are some pictures of people who are like hunting rabbits. You know, like Bugs Bunny? He used to like kill rabbits, right? So that's like in the old German Haggadah. So you recite Yak Nahaz, Yayin Kiddush, Ne'er, Havdalah Zman. Usually when I make the bracha of Borei Ma'orei HaEish, I move my fingers to the candle. Do you have to do that, Leil HaSeder? Do you need all of the accoutrements? Today, I don't know if you could do it this year, because like I assume farm stores are closed due to the fact that we're all supposed to be indoors. But do I need two candles together to make the bracha of Ner? So the pashtus over here is that this is not the Ner that has all of the hidurim, all of the halachos of Ner. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, do not like do your finger thing at the candles when you do Yaknahaz. And although there are some Sfarim stores that sell what they call a special Yaknahaz candle, which is one candle that has two wicks together, but the Pashto says you don't need that. Even on the regular Matzah Shabbos, you don't need a candle with two wicks to make Havdalah. It's a hiddur, it's a nicer thing if you have a candle with two wicks, but it's not an absolute necessity. Now, Reb Kiva Eger writes that certainly if you have one candle, you shouldn't attach another candle to it, because that would be Havara Shelo Letzorech. Since it's really not necessary, so you should not light an additional candle. There's a discussion between Taisus and the Rambam and Beitza. When we say that you're allowed to light fire on Yontiv, you're only allowed to light fire that's necessary. That's the sheet of Taisus. If it's an unnecessary fire, let's say someone on Yontiv, just right, you're not allowed to create a new fire. Molereish is Aser Midrabanan on Yontiv. If you have someone who just wants to light candle to candle to candle, right, on Yontiv, or you want to have like birthday candles on the cake on Yontiv, no? So birthday candles, I hope I'm not bursting your bubble, they are unnecessary. From a halachic perspective, birthday candles are not necessary. So if you have a birthday party on Yontiv, are you allowed to have birthday candles? In Rabbi Blumenkrantz's book on Pesach, actually, he used to say that birthday candles are an old pagan practice and you should never have birthday candles. But am I allowed to light candles? So the Taisus says you're not allowed to light unnecessary candles on Yontiv. The Rambam has a famous shita where the Rambam writes that Ner shel avtola is mutter. The Rambam says that to light a candle for no purpose is absolutely permitted on Yontiv. Even so, we really pass on like Taisus. And because I pass my Taisus, so Ner shel avtola is usher. What is it, Ben? So the Gemara says that mitoch shehut shel tzorech hut shenami shelo letzorech. The question is, do we say mitoch by all malachos? One question. That's a big discussion in Beitza. Additionally, the question is there some iser d'rabbanon even though you say mitoch? Right, Taisus discussed in Daf Yud Beis and Beitza, it could be that even if you say mitoch, you're not allowed to carry something that has zero purpose whatsoever. I'm not allowed to carry on Yontiv a dirty tissue. No? I can't carry, in Taisus' example, Eitzim Va'avonim. Because, again, even leaving the Muktzah issue aside, but mitoch is only something that theoretically I could use for a purpose. To say mitoch on something that's absolutely no purpose is very difficult. So, the Pashtus is, Reb Kiveger notes, that I'm not supposed to take one candle and light another candle on Yontiv to make Havdalah with two candles, because, as a matter of halacha, that would be unnecessary. And if it's unnecessary, I'm not allowed to light a candle on Yontiv. That's called the Ner Shel Avtalah. And Taisus holds it's Aser. So therefore, you don't light the candle. So based on this, some Sfarim stores came up with this razzle-dazzle, crazy chumrah idea that they charge money for. They also charge money in Sfarim stores, again, not this year because there are no Sfarim stores open, but they also charge money like to sell B'dikas Chometz kit, which has like 10 tiny little pieces of bread, each of them wrapped up. You know what I'm talking about? You ever saw something like this? It's an absolute waste of money. Do not buy that B'dikas Chometz kit. Not only that, every B'dikas Chometz kit is an absolute waste of money. You don't need a candle for B'dikas Chometz. It's better to use a flashlight. You don't need a feather for B'dikas Chometz because the perurim, the crumbs, are going to be bottle. Right? You don't need a spoon for B'dikas Chometz. Why the heck would you need a spoon? Right? You ever saw those B'dikas Chometz kits? They have a candle, a feather and a spoon, an absolute waste of money. The Razzle Dazzle Deluxe B'dikas Chometz kits have candle, feather, spoon, and 10 pieces of bread. Buy your own stinking bread. You don't have to buy 10 little pieces of bread from the Sfarim store. Ah, you're worried that maybe it's going to be a kazayis? Make sure you cut the piece of bread very small. So these Jews know how to earn the parnasa. So they sell b'dikas chametz kits, which are completely unnecessary. And they also sell yak nahaz candles, which are completely unnecessary. You are yotzei havdalah just fine with a plain, ordinary, single wick candle. That's the basic halacha. So, Leil HaSeder, you do yak nahaz. You don't need a special candle for the Havdalah at Leil HaSeder. That's the basic halacha. Now, I should note that we mentioned that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says you don't look at your fingernails when it is Yontif Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah writes over here that you should recite Havdalah and Kiddush Leil HaSeder sitting down. There's a whole discussion whether you stand for Kiddush or sit. The old minhag in Ashkenaz always was that people would sit for Kiddush. Nonetheless, people do not sit for Kiddush when they make Kiddush on Friday night. And the reason for that, the reason they don't sit for Kiddush, is because the Mekubalim say that you're supposed to stand up for Kiddush. The Arizal says you should stand up for Kiddush. According to Arizal, by the way, you stand up for every Kiddush. Bein the Kiddush of Shabbos day, bein the Kiddush of Friday night, you stand up for every Kiddush. Somehow our practice developed, or I shouldn't say our practice, many people have the practice that they stand up for Kiddush Friday night, they don't stand up for Kiddush Shabbos day. The Mishnah Berurah writes over here that when you make Kiddush and Havdalah, Leil HaSeder, you should sit. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that the only practice of the Mekubalim to stand up is for Kiddush on Shabbos. Kiddush on Yontiv, there is no inyan whatsoever to stand. And that's the pshat in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that you sit for Kiddush. You sit for Kiddush on Yontiv because it's Yontiv, it's not Shabbos. And you don't have to stand for Kiddush on Yontiv. That is the Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, here's the issue that comes up. Let's say you're an absent-minded professor. Ready, guys? And you forgot to make... You can imagine someone who's absent-minded, no? It's not such a stretch. For some people, thinking of someone who's absent-minded is not such a stretch. Is that what you're saying? Right, professors are always so focused, so mindful, so etc. Okay, whatever it is. But let's say you have an absent-minded professor who Leil HaSeder is there, and he makes Kiddush, but he does not say Havdalah. Again, we're talking about when it's Matzei Shabbos, Pesach Shechalios on Matzei Shabbos. You're supposed to say Yak Nahas, so he says Kiddush, he doesn't say Havdalah. So here's the problem. When do you make Havdalah? There is a concern of being Mosif al HaKosos. You can't use an extra kos. For Ashkenazim who recite a Bayre Pri HaGafen in every cup, you're not allowed to make a Bayre Pri HaGafen between cup 1 and cup 2. So you can't make Havdalah. It will be Mosif al HaKosos. On the other hand, you can't eat. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Shulchan Aruch says, you know what, you make Havdalah when you say kos 2. When you're about to make the second kos, you make Havdalah at that point. Because the second kos is before the matzah, the murray, you make Havdalah then. Let's say you forgot to make Havdalah with cup number 2. So you make Havdalah with cup number 3, with the cup after Birkas HaMazon. Let's say you forgot then, you make Havdalah with cup number 4. That's the pashtus. Now, according to the Psak, or the Chumra that we said earlier from the Mishnah Berurah, that you should have in mind when you make Kiddush, that if you so desire, you will drink between cups number 1 and 2. So then really what you could do is, you could drink between cup 1 and 2, and you'll say Havdalah without a Bari Pri HaGafen. If there's no Bari Pri HaGafen, it's not going to be Mosif al HaKosos. Now, let's go slowly. You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. Do we eat anything after Kiddush before Shulchan Aruch? Karpas. You eat karpas. Are you allowed to eat karpas if you did not make Havdalah? You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. So how are you allowed? You did it already. You forgot. Right? Alchei shechotanu lefanecha, that I drank the Kiddush cup before Havdalah. Okay. What? So it says in Shulchan Aruch that if a person is tov b'tarti, you made two mistakes. If you didn't say Havdalah in Shmona Esrei and then you eat something, so then you have to repeat davening. I think the poskim say that's only true on a Shabbos, not on a Yontiv. On a Yontiv, the halacha does not apply anyway. But on Matzei Shabbos, going into a weekday, that's the halacha. That if someone skips Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, and then eats before making Havdalah, then you have to say Shmona Esrei again. That's called Tov B'Tarti. It's a special knas that we impose on someone who skipped Havdalah. Yeah. Now, there's a whole discussion, by the way, in the Mishnah Berurah there in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say you said Baruch Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol. Does that knas still apply in that case? Okay, but B'Kitzur Ma'aseh. You didn't make Havdalah in Kiddush. So the pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is that you're supposed to make Havdalah on cup number two. What about eating karpas? So the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch, you know what? You eat karpas before Havdalah. That's what the Alter Rebbe says. Eat karpas before Havdalah, and you'll clap al chet for that also. Because you can't make Havdalah before the karpas. That's going to be Mosef Halakosos. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha jumps up and down, and he spits water nickels. He said, what are you talking about? How can you eat karpas before Havdalah because of the din of Mosef al Hakosos? Mosef al Hakosos is not a real din, or it's much less of a din than the eating before Havdalah. Eating before Havdalah is a Gemara in Shabbos on Kufnun. I forget, Kuf Mem Tes or Kufnun. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. It's in the Gemara. Mosef al Hakosos, this din, is only found in the Ravya. It's not found even in the normal Rishonim who we use every single day. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you know what, he thinks what you should do in this case is that you should make Havdalah before Karpas. You'll be Mosef Alakosos, big whoop. Mosef Alakosos is less of a concern. Now, between cups 2 and 3, you have Shulchan Orech. During Shulchan Orech, anyway, you're allowed to drink wine. So during Shulchan Orech, what you'll do is you'll make a Havdalah before you eat matzah, or before you eat your brisket. No, the minig is that the seder, that's supposed to have roast. So you have like a moist meat, you have like brisket or something, no? That isn't that the halacha, isn't that the basic din? So that's halacha by Korban Pesach, but it says in Siman Tov Samach Tes that there's an isser of having any dry meat because it will look like a Korban Pesach, and people will think that you were Makdish Kachem B'chutz, stuff like that. So therefore, you should not have any dry meat at the Seder, anything that appears roast. There's a whole discussion about what about pot roast. You'll have pot roast at the Seder. The practice is that pot roast is permitted at the Seder. Nonetheless, the practice is that we try to have a moist meat at the Seder in order not to get into any shayla that it looks like tzili. No? I said Tav Samach Tes. I'm just trying to remember where it appears in Shulchan Aruch. I thought it was in Tav Samach Tes, but honestly, I don't remember exactly where this din applies. I have to look at it again. Okay, Chevra. So the din is at Leah HaSeda, that's on the Matzah Shabbos, you kill your rabbits. You say Yak Nahaz. And we spoke about if a person did not make Havdalah. The last thing to talk about over here is the Ramah. The minhag in Ashkenaz was that people would wash Netilas Yadayim before Kiddush. Every Friday night, a good Ashkenazi Jew would wash Netilas Yadayim before Kiddush because why be mafsek? There's a din of Kiddush Makom Seuda. You want the Kiddush to be as close to the meal as possible. So what you'll do is you'll make Kiddush. And after you'll make Kiddush, you will After you make Kiddush, you'll go right into the Hamotzi. So you'll wash the Tilos Yadayim before Kiddush. Leil HaSeder, however, you should not wash your hands before Kiddush. Even if you're an Ashkenazi who always washes the hands before Kiddush, Leil HaSeder, you do not do that. And the reason for that is because since it's such a long break when you say the Haggadah, etc., so during that long break, your hands won't be clean. So you won't accomplish anything if you wash the Tilas Yadayim before Kiddush, because the whole objective is in order to have no hefsek between the Kiddush and the Hamotzi. But Leil HaSeder, you have 2 hours between Kiddush and Hamotzi. Pardon me. So because I have such a long time between the Kiddush and Hamotzi anyway, so therefore when I don't accomplish anything by washing before the Kiddush. Of course, this leads to the question that Rav Moshe Sternbach and others deal with, which is, if you have a din of Kiddush B'makom Seuda, so how are you Yotzei that din, Leil HaSeder? Kiddush B'makom Seuda doesn't only mean that your Kiddush and the Seuda are in the same place, but you can't have a big hefsek, no? You shouldn't make Kiddush and then sit down with like 200 friends and shmooze or whatever. You should not do that, because that would be a problem. It's not Kiddush Makom Seuda. You have a 2-hour conversation. So how do we have Kiddush Makom Seuda Leil HaSeder? So Rav Moshe Sternbach says that there are 2 options. Ready? One option is say the Haggadah really quickly. Now, to some extent, that is absolutely ludicrous, no? The whole mitzvah halayla is the Haggadah. The din d'oraisa is sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm going to rush through the Haggadah, say the Haggadah quickly, in order to yotze Kiddush Makom Seuda. That's absolutely ludicrous. That's true. I could say a quicker Haggadah, but I'm truncating, I'm cutting short my one mitzvah of chinuch, that's min ha-Torah all year. Like, to rush through it, you're really defeating the purpose. It's like you're losing the ikar for the tafel, to rush through the Haggadah. Moshe Sternbach's Eitzah seems to be very difficult. There's another Eitzah the Poskim say, which is, you know, karpas, you eat pachas mikazayis, no? So maybe what I should do is have a number of pachas mikazayises and keep on nibbling on them while I'm saying the Haggadah. I'll say pachas mikazayis, right? The question is, do you have to make a borei nefashos afterwards? That's why I have less than a kazayis. Or maybe I have much less than a kazayis, a teeny nibble, and keep on taking teeny nibbles throughout the Haggadah, and that will be mitzare if you're kiddush with the hamotzi afterwards. Again, that also is difficult. Also, if you have a very small share of a kazayis, it's hard to make it go that long, even if you break it up into small pieces. The best teretz of this kasha is what Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says. Kiddush b'makom seuda means you have kiddush and you have the seuda right after. Now, what does the seuda right after mean? If I have 500 people at my seuda, it's going to take a long time to wash. That's still Kiddush b'makom seuda, because for that seuda, 500 people, so that amount of time, it's not an unnecessary break. Kiddush b'makom seuda, explains Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, means don't have an unnecessary break. Leil HaSeder, the break that you have is not unnecessary, because the break that I have is to say the Haggadah. So yes, the Haggadah takes a couple of hours. But so what? It's not an unnecessary break, and therefore you fulfill the mitzvah, you fulfill this halacha of Kiddush B'makom Seuda. Again, there's a lot more to be said. The Rama writes that even if someone's hands are dirty and they have to wash their hands before Kiddush, certainly you don't make a bracha on this Netilas Yadayim. That itself is somewhat questionable halacha, because maybe my Netilas Yadayim before the meal should count as Netilas Yadayim for the karpas. And some Rishonim say that you do make Netilas Yadayim whenever you eat Davash Tibula B'mashke. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, come on, we don't do that. Don't make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim. Don't wash your hands with the kli at all. What? Don't make Don't wash your hands with a kli at all before Kiddush. Just don't do it. Okay, Chevra, let's try to pick up. You know what? Let's say 1 o'clock instead of 12:45. Okay, guys? 1 o'clock, Ben? Okay, so pick up at 1 o'clock, Amir Tashem, and we should have a wonderful, blessed, and marvelous day. Kol tov, bye-bye. Thank you.